If you would, take your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And we're just going to talk about another characteristic of the Christian life that we can work on. And we have mentioned this characteristic in different terms, somewhat, in our study mostly of the wonderful Word of God through Psalm 119. But it will be applicable tonight in a slightly different way. And I want you to pay attention because we're going to build up to that at the end. And, of course, it's going to fly quick because we only have 26 minutes to do it. So, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read these first 18 verses in Colossians chapter 1. I'll read out loud. You follow along, if you would, in your Bibles. Paul writes and says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth, of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Now, we've talked about this characteristic before, and it's simply the characteristic of understanding. Understanding. Okay? And now we've talked about understanding is simply coming into line with God's perspective, right? Understanding. And that's what we want to do as Christians, and we want to come into line with what God sees or what God perceives, or what God says, or what God thinks. That's one part of this. And that's the part we've talked about already. Okay? But to kind of give you a precursor to the last point of the message, not only do we need that in our life, and we all need to work on that, right? Because at times we see things our own way instead of seeing them God's way. So that's something in itself enough to work on, right? But then also, we need to have understanding to others. We need to know that lost people see things differently than we do. That they don't see them the same way. And so our understanding of their perspective, again, not to come in line with what they think. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That was weird. I just used understand about understanding. Okay. But you get what I'm talking about. But to know where they're coming from so you can minister to them. See, that part of understanding we need also. See, we're not going to come into line with their way of thinking. But we can know about what they are and what they're thinking and why they do what they do so that we can properly minister to them, reaching them for Christ. See, that's a part of understanding we need to work on as Christians as well. So, how are we going to do that? Well, that's what the whole message is all about tonight, is working our way toward becoming an understanding Christian. Number one, understanding God and His ways, but then understanding about those that we're ministering to, brothers and sisters in Christ, and lost people. So it's important for us to understand and to have understanding, to be able to comprehend, to be able to apprehend an idea or a sense of another or writing, a learning, or to be informed. That's what understanding is. Okay, so we can be informed, we can understand God, we can understand lost people, we can understand, you know, we as Christians can just have this characteristic of being understanding. Let me ask you a question. Does God understand? Well, He does. Does He know Himself? Yes, He does. Right? Is He in line with Himself? Yes, He is. thank God He is, right? Because if He wasn't, we'd be in all be in trouble. So does He understand man? He does. Does He understand sin? He does. Does He understand all these things? Yes, He does. And guess what? He sent His Son. Here on this earth, God and man simultaneously. And what does it say about it? That He knows our infirmities. He was tempted in all points as we will be tempted. Folks, He understands. He gets it. He's experienced it. You say, well, God doesn't know how I feel. Are you sure about that? I disagree with that. I think He does know how you feel. Or, Jesus never experienced this. Oh, yeah? The Bible says He experienced all things. And I think He did. Why would I doubt the Bible and what it says? So you see, this thing of understanding is very important. So first of all, we have kind of the beginning of understanding. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this. It says, "And you hath He quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were of nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You know what the beginning of understanding for us is? Salvation. Salvation. Let me ask you this. Do you think that lost people understand why they do what they do? No, they don't. Not without God. They don't. And not without the knowledge of God, they don't. They just are who they are. And even some today, and especially in our society, it's gotten worse and worse, they say, "I was just born that way." Especially about these alternative lifestyles, right? They just think it's genetic. They were born that way. Well, no. No, you weren't. I mean, yes, you were born in sin. But it's still a choice. But see, they don't understand. They don't know why they sin. They don't know why they do those things. They don't know why their flesh is bent toward hell. It just is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But see, understanding begins when we understand that we're a sinner, and that God is sovereign, And he is the one that we are accountable to for our sin. And we turn to him and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And guess what? Understanding turns on. We understand. We get it. We're like, oh, duh. I mean, it clicks, right? How many of you had a light bulb come on? And you're like, what must I do to be saved? That's understanding. That's the beginning of understanding for us. In Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and are a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And then all these verses we read over the last 20 months about Psalm 119. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Give me understanding it, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Without God's word, without knowledge that we're sinners before a holy God, we have no understanding. God is the beginning of our understanding, folks. He's the beginning of it. And aren't you glad that at one point in your life, you understood that you were a sinner and Jesus Christ was the Savior. And all you had to do was come to him. And you could have salvation too. That's the beginning of understanding for you. We need to embrace that beginning. And then we need to remember when we were but sinners without understanding. And guess it, listen, that's going to be part of the key in understanding where they are. By remembering what God did for us in giving us understanding in our lives. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. It certainly is. If you take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, we do not have time to read the entirety of the book of Proverbs, obviously. I recommend you do it daily. There are 31 Proverbs. It kind of just fits. In a month's time, you say, but you passed out a Bible reading schedule and it lists it otherwise. Who said reading more was a bad thing? Right? I think it looks like it takes a whole chunk here, about, one week and two every other week. But you can read more than that. On months that have 30 days, just read an extra one somewhere. In February, read three extras. All right? It's okay. Remember, extras aren't bad. Maybe God does give extra credit. I don't know. I'm against extra credit, but maybe God's not. Are you there in chapter 1? We've read this dozens of times. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. It's a perception. We need to perceive the words of understanding. How are you looking at what God says, what God commands, what God indicates, what God says is or what God says isn't? You see, that's why our worldview is so important, how we view things. I was talking to Chris on the way down to youth conference. He's been great, by the way. Thank y'all for letting him go. He's having a blast and he's having a good time. But, we were talking about this and how secular education, the focus is wrong. Therefore, the philosophy is wrong. As Christians, our focus is God. Our center, our hub, the center of our worldview is God. And we see everything through that light. And that makes it truth. because that's where it's centered. Unfortunately, out there, they don't have that same starting point. They don't have that same beginning point. Their focus is man. And they're looking at everything through man's eyes and man's understanding and man's wisdom and man's reasoning. Hey, we were just talking about it, how one of the reasons why I despise public education is because it does have a religion. You see, but they kicked out God out of the schools years ago. Oh, yes, they did. And they replaced it with a different God, man. Humanism is the God, is the religion of our public school system. It is. Guess who's the founder of humanism? Genesis chapter 3. And ye shall be as gods. The old serpent. The devil. But you know what? This allows us. We need to perceive things. He says to perceive the words of understanding. How's your perception? What lenses are you looking at things through? Your own or the Word of God? The ways of God, the things of God, the way God would see them. Again, that's the beginning of understanding. God is the beginning of our understanding. He goes on in chapter 3 and says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. That's how we find it. In Proverbs 9, he says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Folks, is understanding something we cannot obtain? Sounds like here we have an open invitation. A free invitation. Come on! If you're simple, there's nothing wrong with being simple. Just turn in. Take hold of understanding. She's offering. We should accept. She says, forsake the foolish and live. And go in the way of understanding. Wow. So God is the beginning of understanding. Now take your Bibles and just look at Proverbs chapter 2. And I want to, as you should be right there, kind of in the ballpark, there in the book of Proverbs. But back in our text, in verse 9, it says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Remember, that's that beginning. Starts with God. And you're filled with this his will, knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But here's the thing. Why? To what end? To what purpose? For what reason? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we started with the beginning of understanding, that's God. And then we have the practice of understanding, that's the spiritual life. The spiritual life. Notice this time I didn't say the Christian life. This time I said the spiritual life. And ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, right? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, we ought to want to be like Christ. But I'm just afraid that the word Christian is just kind of thrown around pretty sloppily and casually, and it just doesn't hold the clout and the weight that it ought to. But when you say someone is spiritual, you're like, ooh. So that's why I chose to use that word.
And I'm not talking about that false pretense of spiritualism that the Pharisees had. Not a holier-than-thou spiritual. But how about just in tune with God, spiritual? Are we not supposed to grow in grace? Are we not supposed to increase our faith? Are we supposed to become more spiritual and less carnal? Are we supposed to start putting off some of these things and putting on some other things? I think we are. So it's the practice of understanding. It's been said that practice makes perfect. That's actually incorrect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Because if you practice to do something the wrong way, you're going to do it wrong. That's no good. But we need to practice. Do we have the blueprint for success? Yeah. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written there, that thou mayest observe to do all that... I've got to sing the song now. According to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Blinders on, practicing, meditating, hiding God's word in our heart that we may not sin against him. We need to practice this understanding. You're there in Proverbs 2. Listen to what Solomon says. He says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Did you notice that? Application. Apply yourself. What is the teacher that wants the student to excel beg of them? If you would just apply yourself, you could be an A student, right? What does a baseball coach say to the kid playing, you know, center field and he's just out there picking dandelions? You know, if you would just apply yourself, right? And I think God looks down and just says, hey, if you just apply your heart to this understanding, you could have a great spiritual life. You could have great success. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. We have apply, now we have attend. These are action words. These are things that we can practice. We can exercise. We can make them work. We need to get wisdom. We need to get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It's a life skill. Something we need to practice and practice and practice and attend and apply and get and not forget and do. These are things that need to be active in our life concerning understanding. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Folly is joy to them that is to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. That's practice. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. These are things that we can practice. Things that we can work on in our lives concerning understanding. God wants us to understand. He's the beginning of understanding. But then he wants us to continue in understanding. He wants us to practice it. He wants us to attend to it. He wants us to apply ourselves to it. It needs to be in our lives.
we need to make sure we understand. And if we don't, we need to ask God to help us understand. You know, God doesn't want you to go through life ignorant. He doesn't want you to go through life not understanding. If you don't understand, ask God to help you. Hey, who has He given us to help us with understanding and knowledge and wisdom and all these things? The Holy Spirit of God, who dwells within you. And guess what He loves? He loves for you to allow Him to work in your life. Are we not to be filled with the Spirit? And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what being filled with the Spirit means? It means being empty of yourself so you can be full of Him. That's what it means. So as we continue in understanding and we practice understanding, we're just kind of emptying out the cup of ourselves and allowing Him to fill it up. That's what we've got to work on. That's what we've got to perfect in our lives. So, I promised you there was an end. So we have the beginning, we have the continuance, and then we have the end, the fruition of it. Okay? So what does this understanding bring? This understanding that begins with God. This understanding that we continue in and we practice. Well, it has a purpose and it has a point. Back in our text it says this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we have all these things. To what end? I'm not going to read it again because we're out of time, but it says that in all things He might have the preeminence. So when we are complete in our understanding, we have the beginning of it through salvation and through the things and knowledge of God. And we have the continuance of it by the application and the attentiveness to it and the growth and the getting and the practice and exercise of our understanding in God to the end that Christ is glorified in our lives. How is Christ glorified in our lives? By being conformed to His image. By truly being a Christian, a little Christ. By doing what He did. He'd come to seek and to save that which was lost. To be merciful, patient, long-suffering, gentle, kind, loving, faithful, true, compassionate, self-sacrificing, like our Savior. That's the completion of understanding. When we're like Him. Do you want to be like Him in everything? In your life? That's what understanding will bring to you. Hey, did Jesus know the people He was talking to? That woman that was brought to Him by her accusers? She was guilty. He knew it, she knew it, they knew it. But was that the point? Wasn't the point. Did He understand her condition? Did he understand what she needed?
Yeah.
Hey, that thief on the cross that was mocking Him and making fun of Him? Did He shut him down? Did He say, hey, pal, you've been on my nerves for the last 2 hours. Forget you. No. He understood. The woman at the well, when He said, I must needs go through Samaria. The maniac of Gadara, who is out of his mind. Did He understand these people?
the lepers, the blind, the halt, the maimed, the woman that had the issue of blood. Who touched me?
Lord, you're in a big crowd. A lot of people touched you. No, there was somebody. Where is she? The people that came to him with children, full of devils, or on their deathbeds. Do you think he understood them? Do you think he knew how to minister to them?
Well, how about when he saw them as and had compassion on them as sheep without not having a shepherd?
Well, do you understand? Are you kind of getting the thing about this understanding thing?
We need to understand our new life in Christ is so that we can give him the preeminence.
Colossians 2, he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them that in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ."
You understand that Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding to direct God's people, and God gave it to him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What then is my what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you.
You think Paul had an idea of this thing of understanding? And what the end and completion of it is? That's what we need to obtain in our lives as Christians.